Thank you for listening to the Prairie Oaks Pulpit Podcast, recorded on the Sunday morning sermons of Prairie Oaks Baptist Church here in Prairie Grove, Arkansas. Wherever you listen to these, we appreciate that you find these Bible teachings profitable for your spiritual growth. We invite you to join us on Sunday mornings. We meet when weather permits in our open-air pavilion, or we meet in the sanctuary just nearby. It is a laid-back worship experience that you won't soon forget. You can also find links to our messages on our YouTube channel, or you can follow us on Facebook at Prairie Oaks to find out more about our current events. And if you'd like to contribute to this teaching ministry, you can follow the links in the notes. But let's get to the message. All right, Children's Chapel can head back with Miss Holly. Rest of us, first I need you to find your bulletin. I tried to get everybody a bulletin. So everyone got a bulletin, get a writing utensil. If you didn't get a bulletin, you can run back and get one real quick. Or
I left mine up here.
You left yours up here? See? And so today, I'm going to start with something a little different. You got a writing utensil, you got your bulletin, you can fold it so you can write on the back. Because here is the two most favorite words of a preacher, and probably the two most feared words of any kid. Pop quiz. Some of you have been around Prairie Oaks long enough to know what a pop quiz means. Some of you have not, but this is what we're doing. It's a pop quiz, and today we're going to remind ourselves of the Ten Commandments. It doesn't just belong on the Capitol grounds. It doesn't just belong in the courthouse. It belongs on our hearts. And so today we're starting with the Ten Commandments. And so I'm going to give you time to just write those out real quick. Doesn't have to be word for word, but just write those out. Now, make sure you start in order. Make sure you start in order here, because the order is really important with these. Now, I just have some real shorthand ways of writing this out. So, like, I summed up the second commandment in two words. So it's just real easy there. Now, I hope you're doing this. Now, if you don't have a piece of paper, you can type it in your phone, because I want you to be able to really prove yourself that you know these. If you started with do not murder, you're already off. That's not the first one, just in case. Just in case. But we're writing these down. Now, some of you probably learned these with your fingers, and I will not judge you if I see you working through your fingers. Yep. Some of you learn these, like, you know, cowboy version of it. And so that's okay, as long as you prove that you know it. Now, I'm halfway through at this point. So this kind of gives you an idea. This is the easy part. This is the part that you kind of were expecting. I won't judge you on your spelling. I'm not actually going to look at these, but it is for our purposes. Because we're to love the Lord our God with all of our heart, with all of our soul, with all of our mind, and with all of our strength. And one of those was mind, wasn't it? And the way to have these on our heart is to have them go through the channel of our mind. And so we want these. How shall a young man cleanse his way, the psalmist asks? But by hiding God's word in his heart. That is God's instructions. Joshua, if you want to have good success. Now, Joshua was going to be a military commander. He was going to be a leader of a nation. And if you want to know how to have success, Joshua, God told him what? Know and meditate on God's law. God's word. And so if you're not sure about this, this is really important things. These are things, and part of the reason I do this is some of you, you probably aren't having too much trouble with this. Some of you are now realizing you don't know God the way you thought you did. Just being blunt today. Today I've decided God reminded me this week I need to be less worried about offending people and more worried about offending God. You catch that? Because we're going to offend people no matter what, especially with the gospel. I'm finding that as I get older, I get more passionate about some things that I wasn't passionate about, and I'm getting less passionate about things that I used to be passionate about. But I'm realizing that I need to be more worried about offending God and less worried about offending people. Okay, so I'm assuming that you're done at this point. And so let's go through these 10 commands. I did write it down so that you know, I've got this here. I meant to bring a whiteboard, but I forgot. I got distracted fighting printers. First command, start with God. He is the Lord our God, and you shall have no other gods before Him. He comes first. What's the shorthand for it? One God, God first. Second command, got my little scissors. Do not make idols. No idols. Commandment number 3. The most important word is the Lord's name, and you shall not take the Lord's name in vain. He says it twice in one command. Number 4. This is the one that's probably the hardest to get a mental connection on. But it is to remember the Sabbath. And the way I used to teach it was, you know, mom, dad, little, big sister, and little brother, they all jumped in the car and they went to church. You guys did this today. That's not exactly what that command is talking about, but it's a good start. So remember the Sabbath. Number 5, take your whole hand, salute. That's the wrong hand, Brad. This is to honor mom and dad. And it is the pivotal point in the commands. Because you notice the first three deal specifically with God. The fourth one still deals with God's day. And then now 5 is still dealing with authority, and it is our parents. And that, I'm going to preach that before I get ready, but I'm not going to preach it yet. But I'm going to say this. Parents have the responsibility to be honorable in order that they make it easier for their children, not only to keep that command, but also to know authority from God as both loving and yet a leader. But it is the command that comes with a promise, young people and adults, because we never outgrow honoring our mom and dad. Number 6, do not murder. That's why I made the joke. If you started with that one, you're off by 5. Next one, do not commit adultery. Yep, it's in there too. Number 8, do not steal. Number 9, you shall not bear false witness. Don't be a liar. Our God is a truth-telling God. He tells us the truth whether we want to hear it or not. We're to bear His image. And last but not least, do not covet. No greediness in us. These are the 10 commands from God. And the order, as you can see, is important, both in starting with God first, but even as we went through the last half, there is an order of importance there as well. But interestingly, the first and the last deal with about the same thing, the heart. Because you can hide your covetousness except from Him. But He also knows what is your true God. Who do you give credit for the blessings in your life? Who do you seek to please first? We're going to have a word of prayer, and then we're going to read the first 3 commands from God's Word, and we're going to unpack these over the next few weeks. Okay? So let's have a word of prayer. Father, we're thankful. We have Your Word as a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. But Lord, woe unto us that we often do not know Your Word, even the most basics, Lord. And it is not anyone else's responsibility to make sure we know that, except for us in our love relationship with You, that we desire to keep Your commands because You have saved us. We are Your people. Lord, we ask now that You would speak through Your Word. Guide my words and my thoughts to accurately teach Your Word. And in the name of Jesus Christ, the true King and the hero of the story, we pray. Amen. All right, would you stand out of respect for God's Word? Exodus chapter 20. And God spoke all these words, saying, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself a carved image, any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. You shall not bow down to them nor serve them. For I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children to the third and fourth generations of those who hate me, but showing mercy to thousands, to those who love me and keep my commandments. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain. This is the word of the Lord. You may be seated. But as you see here, God comes first in more ways than one. But he is the one who speaks these words. Now, if you grew up like I did watching the Ten Commandments with Charlton Heston, you may not realize that it wasn't just Moses, Charlton Heston, I started to say. It wasn't just Charlton Heston who heard those words. But God had sent Moses to the bottom of the mountain. You see that at the end of chapter 19. And then it says, God said. God said this audibly so that over a million people could hear his voice and what he expected of them. Then he had Moses come up and he wrote it down on the rock, written in stone, for him to take back down so that they would always remember what was said to them from Mount Sinai. But they would have to choose to memorize it, wouldn't they? And hence the reason the little quiz that we just did a few minutes ago. We have to choose to learn those things. But God comes first in it. And the first thing he says there is a little preamble that is super important. It probably gets passed over. We didn't necessarily include it probably in our list of Ten Commandments. But it starts out there in verse 2. It says, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. God makes it clear, first off, this is his commands. And it is given to a specific group of people. And so two thoughts about that I want to expand on because of this verse here. And one is that the commands are for God's people first. They are given to a group of people that God liberated from Egypt, that he set apart from bondage for himself. And we saw that last week when we were talking about a peculiar people set apart to be a holy nation, a kingdom of priests, his own special possession. And so them and their descendants, this is to them. And we talked earlier, as Brother Gene prayed, he talked about we pray for Israel. Those are the descendants of this conversation that took place at Mount Sinai. And so it is specifically for them. Now, these are good for society in general. Now, a good society may require more than just these 10 laws, and maybe less than what is needed, but these laws are for that nation. And he expands on those 10 for the rest of Exodus. And he does it again in Deuteronomy just to make sure they get the point. Another thing that's important in this is that the commands are not how to become God's people, but the commands are how God's people are supposed to become. Do you notice the word order there? We don't become God's people by keeping these commands. If so, we would all fail to be God's people. Because no one has kept this law except one, and his name is Jesus of Nazareth. Everyone else has failed. But the second thing is that we as God's people are to become this way. And I'm putting we into that because, you know, I just said this is for Israel, right? Well, funny thing, It was those Israelites that produced Jesus of Nazareth. And he established a new covenant in his blood. And we are in that new covenant. And in that new covenant, he has, through his own lips and through the lips of his apostles, repeated nearly every one of those 10 commands for you and for me. And so they are for us. They are for us. And it is good for us to know them. For our life, for our godliness. And that is us, I mean, as in church of the new covenant. And so I want to be clear, the church isn't Israel. There's a separation there. Nor is America or any of that. Now, it'd be good for America if it was made up, if the church made up more of America. And it would be good if God's people, the church, paid more attention to the things that are written here. We would begin to look like God's people more. But these are instructive to us as God's new covenant people. And so we don't keep these in order to be God's people. We, as God's people, choose to keep these to reflect Him accurately before the world, because we are called to be a holy nation, His special possession, a kingdom of priests. And I included in your bulletin 1 Peter 2:9 from last week to remind us that's our calling. That's what we've called to be. All right, so it starts with, this is for us as God's people. And the first command, you shall have no other gods before Him. There shall be no other gods to compete for our devotion. There is not to be any other allegiance except to Him. That's important. Because it's easy for us to think, oh, it must be money that provides. No, money doesn't. God is the one that gave it to you in the first place. But we oftentimes make money our master and rather our servant. What about fame? What about popularity? We serve anything to get those likes, to get that approval from others. No, that is not to be our God. God comes first. Hence the conversation about who am I most concerned about offending? It needs to be God. Because He is a holy and righteous God. And I need to be living my life in light of what He expects. Because there's an interesting thing here in this conversation about not making idols. There he says, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God. Really? I thought jealousy was bad. We all kind of feel that way. You know, it's like, whoa, is he allowed to say that? Well, he did. And he said it for a reason. And I checked, you know, I looked in my little study helps and looked at the word in the Hebrew, and that's what it's talking about. He's very zealous for the things that should be His. So I did a little research then. And now envy is when I want what I don't have, but you do. That's envy. I don't have something, but I want what you have. But jealousy is different. Jealousy is when I do have something, but I'm afraid of losing it to you. Jealousy is when I do have something, but I'm afraid of losing it to you or to someone. And God is talking about that. Because here's the reality. God, well, He can rightly say that everything belongs to Him. He created it. He spoke into existence. He knitted us with His own fingers. And so He can rightfully be jealous because it rightfully belongs to Him and it doesn't belong to anyone else. And that includes even me. But there's not much that I can say rightfully belongs to me and me alone. No, it belongs to God. and it's His to do with what He wants to do with. And so if He gives you something that He didn't give me, that's me being content or coveting. Or if I have something and it looks like I might lose it, it was God's in the first place. And so God says, this belongs to Him. He is righteous, He is holy, and He is to be treated differently. And among those things is He doesn't want any competition for our love, for our devotion, for our energies, for our passions, for any of the things that He's made us to have. Because it's an interesting thing as you read through that idolatry section there. He says, you know, the iniquity of the fathers upon the children to the third and fourth generations of those who hate me. And it's okay to squirm with that one too. But the reality is he's talking about what the fathers do, the children often do. What the parents did in moderation, the kids will do in excess, right? And if they continue that sin, then the iniquity and the results of iniquity will continue to land on them. But he says it's for those that hate him. They've rejected him. Because it's an awesome privilege to be God's special people, his chosen people. Because in this world, we need a provider, we need a protector, we need a guide. You read through the Psalms, and the Psalms are all about how we need a protector, a provider, and a guide. But if you reject your protector, provider, and guide, can you imagine what this world is like? Some of the people don't have to imagine. They're living it. It's hard. If you choose to give anyone else the title of protector or provider or guide, then it's going to lead us astray. It's not a reliable source. And so God says, you don't want to do that. But there's a really cool thing at the end of that command, and it is powerful. He says, but I will keep mercy unto the thousands for those who love me and keep my commands. If they will love me. And sometimes I have to cry for mercy because I don't love him enough. And if I love him, I'll keep his commands. Amen. God said that. Jesus said that. If I love him, I'll keep his commands. But he has mercy for those that are weak in doing so. If we just confess it to him, there's mercy. He's promising mercy, not just to the third and fourth, but to the thousandth. If I offered you $3 or $4, that's cool. Offered you $1,000, that's a whole lot more, isn't it? And that's what his mercy is like. And so he's wanting us to dig into that thought. Now, there's another slippery thing here that's got to be mentioned. And that is the other part of this command about idolatry. And that is where, well, an illustration of it comes just a few chapters later. The golden calf. Oh man, that was a disaster. Disaster. If you haven't read that part in Exodus, you can flip ahead this week and look at Exodus 32. But they made a physical object and called it by the Lord's name. And he even said, this is the God that delivered us from Egypt. And God got really, really angry about that. Because they had broken this second command. But it was still the same name. It still had similar story. What was wrong with it? It wasn't God. It was demeaning. Because the reality is this is one that we are really prone to doing and we don't even see it. When I think of God, I see him like this. When I think of God, I like to think of him like this. We're making idols because we're not worshiping the God as he is revealed in the scriptures. So, for instance, if you like the Jesus who is the good shepherd in John chapter 10, but you're scared to death of the Jesus that is revealed in Revelation and don't think of that as him, you've made an idol. Because that is both one person. We can't pick and choose our God, and we can't pick and choose how we define the true God. Because the true God is truly revealed here. And so that is the slippery idolatry, and we can't plead ignorance with him. We can't plead ignorance with him because he expects us to know him. And I can't preach for 30 minutes on a Sunday morning and have you know everything you need to know. There is something that gets missed. What if you came on a Wednesday night? Well, that 30 minutes on a Wednesday night and 30 minutes on a Sunday morning isn't enough. That's why I'm trying to get you to work me out of a job, so to speak, and that you are self-feeders, that you are like the Bereans. You search to see if these things are so. Is that preacher all lost his mind or what? And so you start reading. What does he say? And do that Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Asking God, show me what I need to learn from your word this day. You know, some of you are reading through the Bible, started at Genesis, slogging your way to the end. God bless you for it, because that is great. You're going to get a picture of God that is more complete than most people will have, regrettably so. But that is what God has called us to be, is people who are studiers of him. To know him. Because if we really love him, we'll want to know him. We'll want to love him as he really is and know him better each and every day. And so the Lord says here, no other gods, and don't be making idols. And then the last one goes along with it that we're going to look at today. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. Because his name reveals his character. It is a picture of his character. And so while this command does include not just using GD or JC as a space filler or to express emotion or something like that, it is more than just treating God's name on your lips as holy. But it is that at the minimum. But it is talking about, especially for those of us who are God's people, to live a life that reflects his name, his character rightly. His very name should be treated as sacred. That we bear his name as Christians, as his image bearers, that we act better and reflective of his special place in the world and in our hearts. Now, I'll go to Medlin. So one thing that's always been kind of cool to me is you see those old married couples. And, you know, they horse around and they tease and roll their eyes or whatnot. But you can tell which ones really love each other. And sometimes it's by what they don't say about their spouse. They treat that person as honorable. That is, they have an honored place in their heart. And so the terminology they use to describe that person conveys love. And then you can tell the ones that don't. And there's contempt. And there is harshness. How much more so in our relationship with God? As our words, as our actions regarding Him communicate love and devotion or contempt? And I don't even know the right word for it, but that He's just sidelined. He's not important. Because I tell you what, the people around you know where His place is in your life. Whether you communicate love of Him or whether you communicate something less of Him. And so the first three commands, I am the Lord your God who rescued you, who saved you, no other God but Him. No idol, including not demeaning Him to my own definition of who I want God to be. But instead, I treat His name and His person as sacred, holy and honorable at all times. There's a lot of weight in these first three commands. But the reality is that we have no hope of getting our horizontal relationships with one another right if our vertical relationship with God is broken. It's hopeless. It's helpless. Jesus Himself said, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it, also most important. You shall love your neighbor as yourself." They're tied together. And as I feel that weight of this on me, I'm humbled and heartbroken that I don't keep it. It's still a struggle in me. Now, I don't have a little statue that I'm bowing down to in my house. I don't worship other gods as some nations and some peoples do. But there's little g gods in my life that compete for my attention, that try to steal devotion and allegiance from God. And I think if we ask the Holy Spirit to reveal our hearts to us, we would see the same thing as well. Whether it's popularity or it is approval of others or whether it is financial stability or whatever that is. And so as I feel that weight, I am thankful for Jesus. Because Jesus is not just our role model in keeping the commands. He is our substitute in keeping the commands. He's the reason we are God's people, by faith in Him, not of works, so that no one can boast. He is the one that I've put my trust in, crying out to Him to be my substitute. Because He is the only one acceptable before God. And I can only be accepted by faith in Him. And then, because He saved me, I want to be more like Him and live my life for Him. And the more I walk with Him, the more I love Him and want more of Him. And so I don't know where you are this morning, but we're going to have a song of invitation. And this has been a heavy one. You may need to do some business where you're standing. You may want to come to the altars. You may want to talk with me. You may just want to talk with God. But my prayer is that whatever the Holy Spirit is prompting this morning, that we respond. That we don't lose out on this opportunity, because it is a distinct privilege to have the Holy Spirit speaking to us. You know, as the children of Israel were at the base of Mount Sinai, and the mountain thundered, and the fire roared, and the trumpets sounded, and they heard the very voice of God. And it's easy for us to say, wow, that would be an interesting experience. I would love to have been there and done that. Even though all of them said it was a terrifying experience and they didn't want to be there or ever have that happen again. But it is the same voice that we hear when the Holy Spirit speaks to us. Will we heed as He speaks? Will you stand and will you respond?
376.
No turning back. Well, behind me, the cross before me, the world behind me, the cross before me, the world behind me, the cross before me. No turning back, no turning back. Amen. Pray that you've done business with God. We're going to have a word of prayer. We'll do a few prayer requests and things, and then after that, we'll pray to be dismissed. But Jody Warren, would you voice that prayer for us, sir? Thank you for listening to the Prairie Oaks Pulpit Podcast. We pray for you that you are blessed by these messages, and we're praying that you join us again next time as we continue our series in God's Word.